Cradio, nourishing the soul of the digital generation.
Chris Berrin is a young Sydney-based Catholic all the way from the US. He holds a master's degree from the Franciscan University of Steubenville and is currently working in campus ministry at Australian Catholic University in North Sydney. We caught up with Chris to hear his personal story and reflections on living a life of faith in the midst of suffering and hardship.
So one of the things I've learned in life is that through death comes life. And it's probably through the life and death of Jesus Christ that it's most profoundly seen. But through my entire life journey, life and death, especially aspects of death, have either caused me to turn away from the faith or has actually really allowed me to dive deeper into the faith. So growing up as a kid, you know, I wasn't one of those kids that wanted to be a firefighter or a police officer. I wanted to be a priest. And I can remember all the way through elementary school, that's all I wanted. I wanted to be a priest. I would, you know, sit in the family room and have a table and with tortilla chips, pretend I was a priest and I was playing the mass. But then death came in and rocked my faith. A young classmate of mine in the fifth grade, his father and his brother both got into a boating accident and both went into comas. Now, the classmate of mine, I didn't really know that well. I mean, we were in class together, and in math class, I would kind of helped tutor him. But other than that, we weren't great friends. We never really met outside of school. And so when his father and brother got into comas, I was really shaken. Myself and a number of his other classmates would, during our recess, instead of, you know, normally playing, we had this one tree in the schoolyard that we would gather around, and during recess we would just pray and be there for him and just, yeah, hope and pray that his brother and his father would live and come out of the comas. Now, his brother did come out of the coma, and it was great, but his father passed away. And I can remember the school psychologist coming into the classroom. I think I was towards the back of the class. And him just telling us the news, our teacher telling us the news. And I just burst into tears. I mean, they were very much concerned about me and wanted to know if I wanted to go, you know, off and chat. And I said, no, I was fine. But yeah, it really rocked my faith. I had been praying for this man and my prayers weren't answered. He didn't live. And so, I mean, I went to the funeral and, I mean, again, we weren't really close friends. And, you know, to this day, I often wonder where Alex is, my classmate is, and what he did, because following our graduation, elementary school, primary school, when we went off to year six, we went to different schools and never really saw him again. But at that point, that kind of desire for the priesthood kind of began to really diminish, and kind of involvement as well with stuff at home, just my mom not being involved as much, perhaps with weekly mass attendance and things like that, my faith kind of began to deteriorate or fade as much. But then other deaths would come in, and I can remember growing up and seeing the funerals for Mother Teresa and Pope John Paul II, and that really stirring my faith again, kind of, I guess, that holiness that I saw, or that great person that great life having been ended kind of sparked in me that desire to lead a life of holiness or of greatness as well. When I went off to university, and a secular one at that, was actually at a point when I began to dive deeper in my faith. And it's really the working of the Holy Spirit that one of the first things I found at the school was the Catholic Newman Center, the Catholic parish for the university. And it was there that I slowly began to dive deeper into my faith. And by the end of my freshman year of college, I was very much on the track to being a daily communicant, a daily mass goer. But again, death would enter the door. And at that point, following my freshman year, over the summer, my father passed away. And it was a death that really shook the foundation of my life, because it was, one, my father, and he hadn't even yet hit 50. But beyond that, it was the way he passed, the way he died. On Father's Day in 2007, so June 17th, my father went down in our basement and committed suicide while my mother, my brother, and I were in the house. Now, you'd think at that point one's faith would be just devastated and rocked to the core, but I can remember the day that it happened and hearing the gunshot occur downstairs. I ran down, saw my father lying on the floor, and immediately ran up and called 911. And as very calm and collected as I'm talking right now, I remember talking to the emergency respondent saying, yes, my father just committed suicide in our basement. And so looking back, I really see the working of the Holy Spirit that day, because my mother and my brother were hysterical around the house, but I was very calm and collected. And so you'd think after that event, you know, where would your faith be? Where would... But mine quite literally grew even more. Perhaps it was seeing the despair that my father perhaps was going through, or I don't know what, but I continued to grow and to really dive deeper in my faith as I continued to go to university. And I think then, as I continued to dive deeper, I really came to understand that, you know, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a simple grain and bears no fruit. So it was that there, in going to retreats and diving deeper into my faith and learning more, that I came to understand that through death really comes life. And, you know, then looking back on the previous deaths in the life, you know, not only, you know, Alex's dad, but other deaths in my family that maybe didn't have as big of an impact on me. And even with my dad, I saw that through that death, either life was brought to that person, hopefully, you know, through Alex's dad, you know, through the prayers of his family and the community, you know, praying for his soul to reach eternal paradise, as well as for my father. I mean, the quite unexpectedness of the event and not knowing the entire working in my father's mind, you know, I'd hope and I prayed for his salvation and that the Lord would look upon him in mercy. And so in great hope, looking to see that there was great possibility of eternal life there as well. And so as I kind of dove deeper in the faith and died to myself and died to my own plans, it was then that I became more fully alive, more, yeah, alive. it was there that, you know, I would be more susceptible to the workings of the Holy Spirit, and, you know, would be able to pray in tongues or just be more susceptible to what the Holy Spirit would want me to do or the Lord's will was for my life. It was in dying to myself that I could consecrate my life to Our Lady and just place my entire life, my entire works, everything into her hands, so that my littleness that I am able to give can bring a bigger fold, a bigger yield. It was in dying to myself that I became, as best as I could, what the Father wanted me to be. The death has definitely had an impact in my faith journey, where it's caused me to stray from the path of complete adherence to the church or following the church. At the same time, it's also brought me closer, and it's actually even brought me to what I'm meant to be. That person that died to himself, there broken and willing to give himself for others, that I've really received the fullness of the life that I'm ready to give.
So, Chris, obviously, you received quite a grace through those encounters, through those experiences of mm-hmm. death and of suffering. But like you say, many people in those situations might be expected to lose their faith or to rebel against God. I think it's a natural response. So you've received quite a grace. But as you spoke, I think there were two things that came to my mind. There was in the book of Job, that scene where Job, he receives all this terrible, horrible news, and he just falls to the ground and says, you know, naked I came into this world, you know, naked I shall leave it. I don't know the exact reference. And also the image of Christ in the Passion of the Christ, when he embraces the cross during his passion. And so I suppose what I wanted to ask is, as Christians, you know, I mean, obviously suffering, in a sense, it's a mystery. We can't fully understand its purpose. But as Christians, I mean, how have you come to understand the purpose? And you've already touched on it, but maybe just to expand on that.
I think it's really in, you know, with Job, you know, one of my favorite kind of worship songs, especially after my father's death, was, you know, blessed be your name. You know, you give and take away. I don't know, I can't even think about it right now, but like, you give and take away, but blessed be your name, you know, like, so like in everything, seeing the Lord's hand at work, you know, with my father's death, I've been able to really take his death and make it part of my ministry. And I've been able to connect with people then who's have dealt with other family members who have lost their life to suicide. And I brought great prevention and awareness as well. With the suffering, I think, you know, it is hard. And I think what we have to hold on to is that, you know, this being, you know, the time of Lent, really allowing the Lord to walk along with us and walk with him to Calvary. You know, the Stations of the Cross are a great way to meditate upon that. And, you know, there's a set of meditations that I've been using here at the university by the Holy Cross Fathers. And in the reflections, the leader says at the end of each station, "Hail the cross." And everybody responds, "Our only hope." It's through that cross and through Christ's sacrifice and his suffering that we're brought redemption. So in a sense that we're able to unite our sufferings with him really allows us to then bear great fruit from them. And I think just realizing how much he was in anguish in his own suffering, you know, he didn't take it as a cup of tea, you know, it was, look at the agony in the garden. He was really struggling with, you know, going off to Calvary and to suffer. Look at Our Lady walking alongside him on the way to Calvary, she as well was so much pain and heartache for him. But yet at the same time, they didn't just push it aside. They accepted it and offered it. And through that offering, there's a greatness there. There's a great opportunity. There's a great hope, you know, that it'll be transformed into something good.
In a practical sense, what were some of the things that have helped you along this journey? I know that you mentioned briefly the funerals of Blessed Mother Teresa and soon to be St. John Paul the Great and Marian consecration. Could you maybe elaborate more on were there any particular saints or books or things that really guided you along in that journey?
So when I was at university, I think one, just being in a group that was of like-minded Catholic people, young adults as well. And so it was, they were calling me on and helping me grow. That definitely helped, because I don't think if I had that core group, you know, it would have been a different situation. As well as just the spiritual exercises that time, going on retreats. But it was, again, that opening of myself to the workings of the Holy Spirit. So kind of that being baptized in the Holy Spirit and kind of and just living life through the Spirit definitely strengthened my faith. And Marian consecration, I think, if I wasn't consecrated to Our Lady, I don't know where I'd be right now at this point. You know, even so, my consecration happened when I was in the seminary. But, you know, having been in the seminary for 2 years and then being out of it, you know, I'm still, I think sometimes people think of seminarians as these like very holy young little men that are, oh, we're going to be the best priests and stuff. But like, you know, we still have our own struggles and, you know, sacrifices that we make and sufferings and, you know, still sin and fall. And you think, I've thought, you know, without my consecration to Our Lady, you know, how many times I've fallen, how many times I've been able to get back up. But without her help, I don't know, you know, my great love for Our Lady kind of calls me on and calls me to be better for her son and for her, because, you know, I'm her little knight and working for her in her army to help bring the world to Christ. Just having a structured prayer life, you know, daily rosary or working through the divine office or just staying close to Christ helps in the journey. Daily mass, you know, because if you stray from him or you're not as close to him, it's going to be a harder walk. You know, I think of Simon of Cyrene as he helped the Lord carry his cross. You know, we should be wanting to be that Simon of Cyrene with the Lord. And at oftentimes, like Simon, you know, Simon wasn't just like, oh, I'll help you, Lord. He was kind of pushed into the service in a certain sense, you know. It's going to be rough to take up that cross along with him and walk the journey with him. You know, it's not going to be a straight and, you know, wide path. But I think in that it isn't, kind of brings the adventure and the great stories that come out of it. Like, you know, if the path was straight and wide, that's kind of boring, you know. But if it's winding and it's rocky and you've got some mountains you've got to climb over, there's a great story and a great great story to it. Like, as I've you know, gone around the world, you know, a certain sense, to different places in ministry, you learn people's stories and stuff, and each one's so unique and so special. And I think that's something that we have to kind of celebrate and cherish in our journeys of faith, because otherwise we're just all kind of like cookie cutters. And so that kind of that adventure and that struggle each person has, and the glory that is shown through them, just so great, greatness of the Lord, and just the fulfillment of his promises as well, you know? I've met so many unique different individuals within a secular university of Catholic group people, as well as, you know, people at a very strong Catholic university, where each individual story shows so much of the Lord's glory and his promise and his love. You know, and I think listening to them helps encourage you as well. So just sharing with others, even, you know, someone in the pew next to you at church, your faith journey kind of helps encourage them. And again, you hearing from them kind of helps build you, because we're not on this journey alone either. You know, we're the body of Christ, the church. And so we need to be walking together in the same direction, in the same love towards the Lord.
Okay. So, I mean, just finally, we've spoken about death and about the cross, about the narrow road, and, you know, Christianity, it's not meant to be a walk in the park, because Christ said, take up your cross and follow me. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're also called to be people of joy. Mm-hmm. And Pope Francis keeps on politely reminding us of that. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, how have you experienced that?
I think with joy, you know, sitting in adoration, you have the Lord right in front of you, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And it is in sitting there that I really get the joy from the Lord, because it's there that, you know, there was one day where I was sitting there and really, I already knew it, but it just dawned on me more. It was, he's alive. He's alive. You know, in our own sufferings and our own, you know, dying to ourselves and stuff, we kind of sometimes kind of forget the fact that he's already gone through it, and that that the victory's been won. The victory has been already won, and we just have to be faithful to him and live in that victory. There's a Matt Maher song, the bridge goes, O death, where is your sting? O hell, where is your victory? O church, come stand in the light. The glory of God has defeated the night. Singing, O death, where is your sting? O hell, where is your victory? O church, come stand in the light. Our God is not dead. He's alive. He's alive. And that song really gives you energy and joy, because you realize that he's gone through it all, our Lord, for us. He's won the victory, and he's alive. He's still alive, and he's still present with us right now in the Eucharist, through the sending of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And it's there that you get the joy of the Lord, that you can just live in his glory and live in his love. And it is receiving that Eucharist and adoring that Eucharist that joy is intensified and just gives you life.
Thank you so much for taking the time to share with us today, Chris. It's really appreciated.
Yeah, no worries. It was great.
That was Chris Barron sharing his story and reflections on suffering and joy in the Christian life. For more talks, interviews and shows, visit cradio.org.au.
cradio.org.au